Well, welcome again to another episode of Words of Wellness. I'm Dr. Wells, and today we are going to be talking about a topic that is gone rampant literally over the last decade. But I also want us to talk about it from a different perspective as well. As you know, we do talk about mental health with it. And so today I do want to talk about suicide. But I was in a conversation with some guys that we meet with the first Saturday of every month in Gastonia. And the topic of suicide was coming out because we were talking with some police officers and just the things that go on in someone's mind that is contemplating suicide. As we all know, there are different perspectives of what that actually looks like. Those that have actually been in the action or talking to someone, trying to talk them down from those options. And we always hear it as well of what that could be like. But when you are in those situations, those are some topics that you really don't hear about unless you're in that field. And so with that, we were talking about suicide, but then it was the side of the conversation kind of flipped to where those people are talking about the voices in their heads. And it made me realize, is there a time where there is a spiritual side to suicide as well, and the spirits or the voices that they're hearing? And so today I have a good friend of mine, very good mentor to many, but to me, his gifting is teaching. And with that, I wanted to get a very good biblical perspective on suicide as we go through it, but not just suicide, but deliverance as well as it pertains to the issue of suicide. And so with me, I have a dear brother of mine. His name is Troy Boozer, as he welcomes himself by saying hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. With that. Any of you may know him, but for those of you that don't, I would recommend highly looking at the info at the bottom of the podcast to get some information on how to reach out to him if you want him to come and teach deliverance, or also just if you really, like me, just want a brother that you can talk to. That's what you know, we don't do titles around here, and and he can give you a lecture on that as well. But just brother to brother, man to man, that is his ministry. He loves to disciple, and so and to encourage, challenge, and change. That can be your next mantra.
There you go.
within that. But as we get going, Troy, I wanted to get your perspective on some couple of things that we'll bring up and see where spirit leads this conversation.
Sure.
But when you first think of suicide, do you actually think of the spiritual side of that?
I typically always do first.
Okay.
I do know we have a very real enemy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about our enemy that we need to understand is he's not opposite of God.
Right.
God has no opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So God, in order for something to be opposite, that means at some point in the middle, they would be equal.
Mm. Right. Good point. Yes.
And God has no equal. Mm-hmm. He is an enemy of God, but he's not opposite of God.
Mm-hmm.
Being God's enemy, there's a hatred that he has for God. And since he can't do anything to God, his best option is to do something to what God loves the most, which is people. And so
yes.
I always look at the spiritual side first, and I'm not saying I'm always right.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm always right, but
yes,
I do look at the spiritual component first to make sure that we're not dealing with a darker entity that has invaded someone's soulish realm and has caused them to lose hope and get to a place of despair to where they have nothing else to look forward to and ultimately destroy themselves, because this is how he can get back at God.
Yeah. Very good point. Getting that is actually one of the number one top five reasons of those that have committed suicide is not necessarily God, but at the same time trying to get back at someone. They want them to feel their pain.
Sure.
With that. And to me, I see that very vengeful.
Yeah, I do. And as sad as it is, and this may not sound right, but I hope the hearers can really hear my heart on this. Mm-hmm. There is a level of self-centeredness to it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just the vengeful side of mm-hmm. it, but there's a level of self-centeredness to it because I want out.
Yes.
And I leave everybody else to deal with mm-hmm. me being gone. And however it affects them, it's irrelevant to me. It doesn't matter because, when people get to that point, they're not thinking
correct
clearly mm-hmm. and how this is going to affect everybody else. And you're focused more on yourself than anything else. Mm-hmm. I've had enough. It's too much for me to bear. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, they're absolutely right. It is too much for them to bear on their own.
Correct.
And they just don't see where to get help from. Mm-hmm. And so in the cases where it is spiritual, mm-hmm. then we do provide that help. Mm-hmm. In the cases where it's clinical, then folks like yourself, would provide that type of help. But one thing we do, especially when it's spiritual, we try not to force it to be clinical.
Correct.
What we want to do is we put the clinical side on the back end. Mm-hmm. People that have been in any of our classes on deliverance and stuff like that, mm-hmm. tell people when you get free, your number one priority is to stay free.
Yes.
And so the deliverance side of it helps you to get free. Mm-hmm. Then the counseling comes in to help you to stay free. So
absolutely.
The counseling is on the back end of that. So,
yes, you brought out a very good point with self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. And another word with that, too, is selfishness.
Absolutely.
And anyone that has, I'm like you, hear my heart, not hear my mind and thoughts, right. Because sometimes, depending on what state you're in, I'm not trying to be a dead horse or trying to come across as insensitive, but suicide at its purest is a selfish act.
It is.
With that, you are negating family, mm-hmm. the hope of the future. It is a hopeless thing. And so, again, those are key words that you're realizing the spiritual side of it as well. Because, I mean, even Romans 5:5, that's our theme for Hope Wells is, and this hope will not disappoint.
Yeah.
With that. But selfishness is keen, and if there was there's captions that say certain things, if running away or if something being funny, this would be a picture of that.
Yeah.
If suicide was a caption or a definition of something, it would be selfishness.
Sure.
We get to a place where we feel like there is I, and if I don't have my needs met, if I am rejected, if I do this, then I am going to leave off everything else and I'm going to do what I want to do. So those of you that may have had a friend or a loved one that was, quote unquote, in their right mind and decided to commit suicide, and you're lost, and sometimes you're frustrated at that because it was a selfish act.
Yes.
And what is there a spiritual side of that selfishness?
There is, because in Isaiah 14, we see where the Bible starts to talk about Lucifer, and what did he say? He said, "I will exalt my throne mm-hmm. above the mm-hmm. heavens, and I will be like the Most High." And I listen to what he's saying. I, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, and again, I say this I want to say it the right way. Mm-hmm. I have the deepest sympathy,
yes,
for people that find themselves in this state. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm standoffish or just, you know, hey, you gotta mm-hmm. get better. Mm-hmm. You know, do better, get better. You know, I don't want to seem like it's, you know, I'm hardened towards that, because I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
My heart goes out to people that find themselves in this state. However, it doesn't change the reality
mm-hmm.
that it's still focused on yourself. Where does that come from? Well, you can see that with the enemy. The first thing he did is I.
Yeah.
That's what led to his fall.
Mm-hmm.
I. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens. And you see, it's almost like you see a reflection
yeah.
of who he is and what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Very prideful.
Very.
Very much so self-centered and selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about me and nobody else. You know,
yeah.
and this is kind of where we see the reflection of that when people get into that, especially dealing with the spiritual side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a key word or phrase or action that makes you, that stands out, that makes you think that, oh, this is more spiritual than the other or more clinical than the other when dealing with someone?
I don't know that there's a key word. It's more about a case by case.
Okay.
And the Bible tells us, and we can be about as real here, right?
Yes. So, trust me. Yes.
I listen to people say this, and I know where their heart is, or, you know, to some degree, and I know what they mean by it.
Mm-hmm.
But people pray for discernment, and you already have discernment.
Yes.
Discernment is something that's built into every single human being.
Correct.
And is part of your, it's part of you survival, or your survival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're walking down the street and you see a big crowd screaming and hollering and running in your direction, you can discern that something is wrong and you would probably run too, right?
So yes. It's
all part of your self-preservation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But what the Bible talks about, the gift is not the gift of discernment. It's called the gift of the discerning of spirits.
Yeah.
And so this is what we have to pray for, and this is what we have to receive from God, is the gift of discerning of spirits.
Okay.
When I understand, when I'm operating in that gift,
mm-hmm.
I am not just able to tell you what's happening. I can tell you what's causing it to happen.
Yeah.
And so this is why you have to have that gift. This mm-hmm. is why. And nowadays, I think
mm-hmm.
the body of Christ needs that far more than we used to.
Yes.
You know, I think it's very prevalent, or it's an immediate need for us right now, is mm-hmm. that we're able to discern what's causing the issue.
Yeah.
And so when we deal with these cases in deliverance in general, specifically mm-hmm. in suicide, then we have to be able to use that gift and understand, okay, is it clinical?
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, let's go get you some help. But if it's spiritual, let's evict the spirit.
Yeah.
And get him out of here.
Yes. That's a very good point. The knowing which one it is and then knowing your plan of attack.
Yes.
With that. And so that's definitely discerning of spirits. My mind went back to earlier this year, we had an interview with Maggie Tutherell.
Okay.
And she is, that was when we were talking about our women in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought out the importance. I asked her the question of, which gift do you feel like that you depend on the most, especially going into mission field?
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely discernment. Mm-hmm. And then I think, I can't remember exactly, but we talked about the discernment of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
With that one, especially being in another country and yes. not getting rid of the fear of the unknown.
Sure.
And so within that, but when you are, and hopefully I'm not going down a rabbit trail, but it's just where I have been as well. But when people are wanting to, they say they want to use their gift more
mm-hmm.
Within anything. When it comes to discernment of spirits, there is something to be said about reading your word.
Oh, sure.
And I know that could be an obvious statement. Oh, yeah, I need to read my word more. But mm-hmm. for specifically training or just getting knowledge of the word in you, you're going to know what you are discerning, because it's a discernment of spirits. You don't want to depend on the Webster's dictionary.
No.
To know what you're discerning.
Well, I'll give you a good example of that. A couple years ago, I guess maybe, was it 2020? It might have been 2019, 2020, somewhere around there. There's a lot of riots going on in different cities and stuff like that. And I had a good friend of mine, and he wanted me to go when the city, if you want to call it riots here in this city.
It was 2020 because it was 2020? An election year.
There you go. There you go. He said, well, you're going out to the protests. So he wouldn't invite me to a riot. I don't want people to think that. He should invite me to protest.
Make sure you was carrying.
Yeah. And I told him, no, I'm not going to protest.
Yeah.
Well, why not? Well, God didn't tell me to. Well, you know, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to pray. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, it's time out for praying. We got to have action. And I said, okay, that right there, and I explained to him, is not godly at all. This is when you know the word, because the Bible says men should always pray.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Mm. So why would you say that it's time out for praying? Mm. That doesn't take a whole lot of spiritual discernment. That just takes knowing the word.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
This is what the word says. The word says that men should always pray and that we should pray without ceasing. It tells us over and over.
Yeah.
And so when you say, oh, no, it's not time for prayer. No, it's always time to pray.
Yes.
And so knowing the word is going to be the first step in understanding what's happening in a situation.
Yes. Just
being able to understand what the word of God says concerning certain things. And, and whatever situation you're in, concerning that situation, and going from there. Then we get into the spiritual part, you know, a little bit later than that. But first thing, to your point, was know the word.
Yeah. So I was looking for a segue, but this just was like, oh! But that guy in that situation of this is not time to pray, when we look at the greatest passion that someone had, they ended up sweating tears of blood.
Yeah, man.
Before his timely trial of death, Jesus is literally bleeding.
Yeah, man.
Within that, but he's praying. But he's praying, take this cup from me.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't want to go through this.
Yeah.
Within it, because he knew what was going on, God and man at the same time. And we go through those, he goes through that, and at the same time, my mind goes back to, he didn't want to go through this, and the mental exhaustion.
Yeah, man.
That we had, let alone the beating.
Sure.
And the trials.
Sure.
But the emotional and the mental health of him at that moment was immeasurable.
Oh, sure. Imagine if he would have checked out. You know,
and the fact that, which is leading me to right where my thought was, if he would have said no to all that, this world would, ain't no telling. Well, if there would be a 2024 within all of that, but he's at that point and trying to make it through one of the hardest times of his life that affected his mind, but yet he persevered.
Yeah.
And went through it all. But the traitor.
Yeah.
Judas.
Yeah.
Who, what would be the word? The instigator.
Yeah.
So to speak, of it all. That got everything going. And once he had traded for, what, 22 coins of silver?
30.
30 coins of silver.
Was that right? Yeah, 30.
30 coins of silver, which was... Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was nothing. For those that are theologians, I would encourage you to go look up what that 30 coins translates and then what that really meant for their time.
You'll see it in Leviticus.
There you go.
You'll see it in Leviticus.
Yes. Oh, by the way, he loves the Old Testament. But with that, and then what happens to the one that traded him in? He mentally could not handle what he put on himself.
And that's, I think it's a key what you said. A lot of times what ends up happening when people get themselves to that point, because everything they put on themselves. It's what you took on yourself.
Yeah.
And as strong as we think we are, we're not built for certain things. We're just not built for it.
No.
So when he says, cast your cares upon me.
Yeah.
And we read this a certain way because I care for you.
Mm-hmm.
You cast your cares upon him because he'll do the caring for you.
Correct.
Right? And this is what it is.
Correct.
Because we're not built for that.
Yes.
This is why he keeps telling us over and over, do not worry. Mm-hmm. Do not worry. Mm-hmm. Do not worry. Because you're not built for that.
Mm-hmm.
It will break you down.
Yes.
And that's what ends up happening. We take on too much.
Yeah.
Right. And it's stuff that we take on or we assume that other people are putting on us.
Man.
And then we just don't know how to handle it.
Yes.
And you honestly, because you don't, you're not built for it. And then you start to break down physically.
Yes.
You start to break down emotionally.
Yes.
You start to break down mentally.
Yes.
And then when you have all three of those components together,
you can't win.
No. It's bad.
It's really bad. I had in 2023, I made this declaration and it was actually one day at our local church to where the body has to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, everybody was just like this. Oh, that was offensive. Right. Just like, oh, gosh, what is he saying? But no, I went on to explain the scripture says cast off every weight. There's a weight and sin that so easily besets you. And that weight is usually extra.
Yeah.
And so I spend a lot of time when I'm talking to especially men that try and take on the Jehovah Jireh role.
Yeah.
And it had to start with me. Otherwise, I wouldn't know how to minister or talk to other men about that. But we take on this role of I got to do this. I got to do that. And I'm counseling a couple now. And one of the men in the cup, the husband. I got to be careful now. I mean, 2024, good Lord. But the husband is holding on emotionally. I had to break down ego for him. Everything's going okay.
Everything's going okay.
He feels like he can't tell his wife how he really feels emotionally. And I understand at certain times, and that's what I explained, that I understand what you're feeling because you know what she can't handle at certain moments.
Correct.
But it's killing him, literally. And so then they're not talking, so they're not arguing within that. And so we're working through all of those things, but when you begin to put on so much weight, I don't care how much you're in the gym, that weight,
it won't matter. Yeah.
And I'm seeing it more with females too. They are, especially if they're a single female parent, they will put so much on them that they negate the priorities that really matter in their home and forgetting that their child is their first ministry.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because we see that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with men's ministry quite a bit.
Yeah.
We see men that take on way too much responsibility because they are taught by this world system what a man is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you just got to go out there and handle it.
You
know. Now, you don't go share all that with everybody. You deal with it.
Yeah.
You deal with it. And what we end up doing is start suppressing emotions. And when you suppress those emotions, they're going to come out one way or the other.
Yes.
And what I've taught before, everybody's outlet doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to blow off steam some kind of way or another.
Yes.
So some will find their relief at the bottom of an alcohol bottle. Some will find it at the bottom of a pill bottle.
Yep.
Some will find it smoking marijuana. Or some will find it in the beds of other women.
Yes.
So they will find it some kind of way because you can't handle that by yourself. And so at some point, you have to release the pressure.
Yeah.
And when men release pressure, and not just men.
No.
In human beings in general, it looks different to everybody.
Yeah.
And so this is why sometimes it's very hard to target the depressive state of someone, because everybody's outlet could be different.
Correct. That the only time men want to hear about suppressing is if it's with a gun.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the only pressure we want to really
hear. We can talk about that all day.
But now that you got to have a tax stamp.
Yeah, I know.
That's with that. But going back to Judas, he had so much weight on him. And I can't be in his mind, but the voices.
Yeah.
He came under so much mental strain.
Yeah.
That he had to. Well, he didn't. I'm sorry. He chose to commit suicide.
Yes.
With that.
So think about this. The Bible tells us when it pertains to Judas, it says, then Satan entered into Judas.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
And so how did he get into Judas? He got in through his mind. Right? So now you have that influence there.
Yes.
That's not making you do anything, right? But heavily influencing you to make poor decisions, to do something, right? Now, look at the outcome of that. Once he used him, then he killed him.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Once he used him up and he got what he needed out of him, then he killed him.
Yeah.
Right? So, or had him kill himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is kind of the M.O., of the enemy. He wants to use you. He wants you to join, you know, in what he's doing.
Yes.
And then when he has no more use for you, you know.
Yeah.
Either you take yourself out or he'll do it for you, one or the other.
So. Right. And that's a great thing, because that's a great point with understanding that Satan entered him at that point.
That's what it says, yeah.
Yeah. So at some point, even Satan had a legal right to enter.
Well, Judas was, I mean, he had the money.
Yeah. Right?
So here's something now, because Judas was more than likely a zealot.
Yeah.
I think we said that. Yeah, he was a zealot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because it says Judas of Iscariot, and Iscariot was a zealot compound.
Yep.
Yeah, so Judas was more than likely a zealot.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing about zealots, zealots were thieves.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, zealots were thieves in the sense that Robin Hood was a thief.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that you're not a thief.
Yeah.
A thief. But they were thieves in the sense that Robin Hood was. So they would take the money and then do something for their countrymen.
Yeah.
So
like Judas, a vigilante thief.
There you go. Judas was the one that had the money, and he would steal from the money. You know, but Judas was stealing from the money more than likely, not for himself, but I'm not trying to give Judas a pass.
I got you.
I'm not trying to give him a pass.
We understand.
But this is where the door is open, because even in the thievery, we know that's sin.
Mm.
And so you give the enemy a foothold when you decide to steal, and all he needs is a foothold.
Yes.
If you just open the door a little bit, that rascal will come in and he'll wreak all kind of havoc. And that's what happened with Judas, you know, because of the thievery. And it could have been some other things, but what we do know, it was there was thievery there. But because of that, the door's open.
Yes.
And now the enemy can come in and start suggesting other things.
Too, yes. So, I mean, Judas is a case study.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good case study.
Yeah, we may have to do another one on that.
I think so.
Just to make a little side note there. Man, I love the things that I never know what's going to come out of a conversation with this man, but that's something we were going to have to talk about. We may privy you to being on that podcast. But understanding the voices in his head, and when Satan enters, those are thoughts that are not of yourself.
No.
And people that are in that much turmoil, it is hard to decipher what's you and what's not.
Yes.
In that moment. This is why I believe Satan had his controls so much of his mind, because before all of this happened, I don't know everything that happened with the 12 disciples, but something they had to have some kind of camaraderie to where he could have felt like he betrayed Jesus with that, But before the act actually happened, you would think that he can go back and try and get somebody to talk some sense into him.
Yeah.
Within that, if you are telling me that there are some voices going on in your head that are not you, because one thing that you will know is that God said that my sheep will know my voice.
Yep.
And that sheep translate actually going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to move forward. It's not going to be stagnant. It is not going to just go backwards. It is going to go forward. And so those thoughts are not of God. And so if you're going to know who you are and the thoughts that are up you, your self-worth is going to be built. You are a king's kid.
That's right.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are more than a conqueror. There is nothing in there that says stop living.
That is true.
And to have a plan to do that, you have thought that out.
Yeah, and unfortunately, people get to that point. And like I said, it's a very sad thing. My heart goes out
absolutely
to anyone that's ever had to battle that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually will rejoice with those that have overcome it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know,
because it's not a very easy thing to deal with. The key is... at some point, and I want to talk to this or speak to this from the side of the believer.
Yeah, go ahead.
But at some point, the believer loses identity.
Mm.
And when you lose identity, this is where the door can also be open. Because if you don't know who you are, if you don't know who you are, then it's going to be very difficult for you to fight off the thoughts of someone to convince you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of who they think you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know who you are, because you know who you are, then you don't have to settle.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
You only have to settle when you have no identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, if you don't know who you are, then you will settle.
Every time
you'll settle. It doesn't matter. Settle for, you know, your life situation. Mm-hmm. Settle for a certain job.
Yep.
Settle for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You will settle because you don't know who you are.
Yep.
When you start to know who you are and you understand who you are, then you understand there's things I don't have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And it's not that these things can't come to me.
Yeah.
It's just I don't have to deal with them because I have an advocate.
That's exactly right.
And that's one of the keys, and it's unfortunate when we see believers kind of lose their way in the way of identity, because then once I can convince you of anything almost. Yeah,
that's you know? It. You're part of your identity is knowing the vision for your life.
Sure.
With that. And so when you don't have a vision, you will settle.
You will settle.
One of the things that we do when someone clinically has when they're having suicidal ideations is that we'll have them fill out what are some things that you want to see accomplished? Mm-hmm. What are the next steps? And we do that in a time increment as well. So it's not, some things are immediate future. Some things are 5 or 10 years from now with that. And that's on purpose to see, this is what you're living for within that. But if you don't have a vision for your life, literally you perish.
That's right.
And that is meaning that somebody, you have to know where you're going with that. And there's only one way to get that vision, and that's intimacy with God.
Absolutely.
Every single time. And I tell people, and they sometimes get mad at me because they pay for this cheap and free advice. And I said, this is going to be simple, but that's one thing I love about being a faith-based therapist or counselor is that my answers are going to be the word. So
yeah,
my script has already been written.
Yeah, man.
With that. But it's just breaking it down in a more practical way.
Sure.
Within that. And I say 99% of the time with the issues that come in, especially with vision, how's your prayer life?
Yeah.
And they sit back and the face drops.
Yeah.
With that every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time. And I'm expecting that, because if people, when we realize that our prayer life is going and coming from a, especially a believer perspective, even that those that may not even consider themselves a believer that may be listening to this, I guarantee you, unless you're agnostic, you have some kind of prayer life.
Oh yeah.
Within, even if it's at the last minute trying to get help to pay a bill.
Yeah, man.
Before we're gonna say, "Dear Jesus, or Father, if there's something out there within that, help me." But when you are at that point of where you realize that my prayer life is going to be indicative of my life choices, mm-hmm. within that, how do I talk to my wife?
That's right.
How do I father or parent my children? Mm-hmm. Within that, what's next? What's the vision? I was literally talking to one of our staff members at Judah Church yesterday, and she was trying to figure out, what do I do next? Mid-20s, she's worked a full-time job, trying to figure out something else, doesn't want to do that, and trying to figure out something in between. But then I have to do something that's just going to bring in money and career-wise. But then they made this statement, and I said, "Ooh, you messed up." She said, "It's all about the money." Yeah, and my face lit up, but I know I didn't have much time. I said, "It's not all about the money."
No.
And I asked her, "What are you called to?" And it took her a moment. So until you can snap and know that answer,
oh yeah,
you need to go be intimate a little bit more.
Yep,
with it. I don't care. Just plain and simple. But with that, so when we get to the place of where we know who we are, there's an identity issue that could be in there. But at the same time, many people, when they are, may even attempt suicidal things, they add to a depressive mind.
Yes.
And they take, many times, you will see alcohol,
mm-hmm.
Xanax.
Yes.
Or anything else that is going to make you feel what we call lower.
Uh-huh.
There's uppers and lowers in the substance abuse world. That those lowers are going to literally take you down lower. And when you talk to someone that may have attempted suicide before, what were you doing before? Well, one, I was depressed because I broke up with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just decided to drink and then do something else. But when you realize that there's a literal translation of alcohol called spirits.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know how we missed that, but I digress.
And you realize that those spirits literally are spirits that you're putting in your mouth through your mouth gate.
Yeah.
Within that, they are not going to make you have positive thoughts.
No.
But yet, the cliche, the miserable love being around each other.
Misery loves company.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's within, that goes with spirits too.
Oh, of course. I had some friends when I was in the military, and they were getting, you know, some issues. And of course, they would drink. And I asked the question. I'm like, okay, how did drinking help?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So let's look at your situation. So you got drunk.
Yes.
You wake up and you feel horrible.
Uh-huh.
You have less money now.
Yes. Yes. Considerably a lot.
And the problem is still there.
Mm.
Right?
So yes.
Really, what did you do by drinking? You just made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You just made it worse. Mm-hmm. You know, drinking doesn't make the problem go away. And people say, it'll numb the pain. No, it won't. It will intensify it.
Every time.
And you're playing right into the hands of the one that really wants to take you out.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I've never been a drinker.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess everybody has some kind of vice or something like that, you know, that they've had to overcome at some point.
Right, right.
Just drinking wasn't one of mine. Mm-hmm. But I've seen it over and over again, how alcohol and other drugs like that bring people further down than what they were originally. And then when you begin to repeat that behavior over and over and over.
Yes.
So every Friday night now, Yes. Because I'm in this situation. I got to drink again. And then next week, I'm still in the situation. Mm-hmm. You're just creating a habit, which ultimately forms your character.
Yes.
And now you live as a drunk.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you live as a person in a depressive state perpetually because you won't face the problem. Mm. You're just trying to numb the pain.
Yes. I love the slogan, you will never conquer what you refuse to confront.
Correct.
And that's exactly it. The those spirits that are in alcohol, I'm like you, I've never, and there are times where I have accidentally tasted it. I put the imaginary air quotes up there with that because even when we were on our honeymoon, we ordered a virgin drink, and then Kathy's came back with alcohol in it. And, I mean, it was there, but at the same time, didn't like the taste of that particular drink. I don't know what it was, but I didn't. And then my dad told me when he used to drink before he got saved, but he's like, it tastes like pee. So why am I going? So that's not very advertising to me.
That's a good way to keep you away from it.
And it worked, and I still ain't tried it. But when I did, there was one time we were at a company party, and I'm going somewhere. When I had, I was in my 20s, and we went over someone for a Christmas party, went to a house. Mm-hmm. And so all my coworkers were like, Josh, I thought you don't drink. I don't. But they had this eggnog. And and I thought it was just eggnog. This thing had Bailey's in it. Yeah. And I mean, it's a low alcohol count for that. But for me, I had never had any. Yeah. And so next thing I know, I'm 5 cups in.
Feeling good. Oh,
like I should. And then that's when they told me, and I just stopped and I went over and laid on the couch. And I never know what they say about what alcohol does to you.
Yeah.
Fortunately, she was a friend, but my boss at the same time. But I was very flirtatious outside of myself within that. And I heard that they bring certain things, another spirit out of you within that. And so I can see where people will get that. But when you're not sober, that's why the Bible is sincere about sober.
Sober-minded, man.
And what you're doing with that, because if you're not, there are other voices.
Yeah.
Or what we can think in our those spirits that are talking to us, making us think these certain things. And so when those moments occur, like get these voices out and the intensity of that, to me, that is deliverance.
Yeah, man. If you can silence those voices, that does help. When we deal with deliverance, one of the things, especially on the side of suicide, depression, recognizing where a lot of this stuff comes from. And I'm going to say this in our experience, most of the time it has come from a state of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And because of rejection after rejection after rejection, a person gets into a state.
Yeah.
To where they're open to depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so depression moves in and it begins to influence a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from our standpoint, from our own experience, that's what we've seen. Dealing with that is really, 'cause you spoke to the deliverance side of it, but dealing with that and getting those voices to be quiet and ultimately to leave is a task in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about deliverance that we have to understand is we have to have the person's cooperation.
There you go.
Right?
Yep.
Because what can I do if you want to keep your devil?
Let you keep it.
There's nothing I can do.
That's that it.
And so if you're constantly like, I just want people to feel sorry for me. I just, you know, it's kind of like, what was it? The donkey on Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore.
Yeah.
Just constantly walking around like Eeyore.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
You know, you just constantly like that all the time. And you just want people to feel sorry for you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you get some kind of comfort from people feeling sorry for you.
Yes.
Then we have to get you out of that mindset and get you on the road to say, you know what, I really do want to be free.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once we get you to that point that you do want to be free, then it actually becomes downhill from there.
Mm.
It becomes downhill. So,
okay. Well, I know that has been a lot within that, and we may have to do another roundabout within that. But the person that keeps staying on my mind throughout this podcast is not necessarily even a person. It's the people that know people like this.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get that person help. Because I, unfortunately, you will, unless there's a discernment of spirit,
mm-hmm.
that within the, and you can feel it coming, most or overwhelming 90% of people that commit suicide, they don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And we don't know until the end. Of what happened. Even at the end of 2023, unfortunately, I heard news is in the local Carolinas of 12 and under kids committing suicide.
Yeah.
Often. And sometimes, not necessarily ironically, but those youth didn't appear to have anything going wrong with them. But there's a something crying out inside that they don't know how to communicate.
Yeah.
Or they refuse to communicate as well. And so sometimes it's us just saying hello and being in the window of opportunity to take some time to say hello to someone else, to give them a window of opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and being open and approachable that really can make a difference. When this, for those of you that really feel like you have a spirit of discernment, use that when you're walking in the grocery store and when you're checking out or with your waitress at this restaurant, and don't just think they're frustrated at you, but ask them, how are you?
That's right.
And don't just let them say, I'm okay.
Sure.
Or I get off in a little bit and then I'm going to be okay.
Sure.
Trust me, if that's how a normal conversation goes, I'm going to give y'all a little hint. You can be a little counselor 101. Take it a little bit further. Just ask another question.
Yeah.
You don't have to invite them nowhere. For all you churchy people, don't invite them nowhere. They just, right then, be Jesus for them.
That's it, man.
For them. And let them see that there is light. That's all they're looking for, is light.
Sure.
And hope.
I mean, your meal can't be more important than someone's well-being.
Yeah.
Can't be.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we kind of get into this mode. You know, I'm here to eat.
Yeah.
I'm here for this.
Yeah.
And you don't recognize.
Yeah.
You were sent there.
Yeah.
There's a reason you got hungry, and there's a reason you decided to go to Outback or to, you know, whatever it is you mm-hmm. like to go. There's a reason that you're there.
Yeah.
You know, and if someone comes to you in that state, I wholeheartedly agree. Let's try to find out, hey, is there something I can do? Because truth of the matter is, because mm-hmm. you have Holy Spirit living inside of you, you have the answer to what bothers them.
Yes.
You have it.
Yes.
So I would say the same, echo exactly what you're saying. Take some extra time.
Yeah.
And care for somebody. You know, just makes sense to me.
Yeah. It will go a long way to just say hello and just go, let that conversation go. Thank you. And don't just live, if your mentality is that your gift is only intended for four walls, I think I need you to call me outside of this, or again, look underneath at the information from a man, Troy, on the other side. For those that just feel like, oh, you can turn it on and turn it off. Well, let me tell you that you don't have a gift. because the Holy Spirit is living.
That's right.
Within you. And he doesn't want, he's not an on and off unless you have elected to not use your own self. He is not going to possess you or control you within that. You have that within that. But go in always ready. Be always ready to use, just to be what God needs you to be. And within that, you will see people as not just people, but a ministry.
Sure.
You will see people in a whole new aspect, whether you like people or not. Trust me, I'm introverted. I can do fine just going home within that. And I don't like talking to people, especially strangers as well. But at the same time, you, when that gift of discernment is there, or you can just sense, for some people, the phrasing, you sense that just something's wrong, or you just felt like you just needed to bless somebody, however you want to phrase it, just take the time to let that person know that they're loved, that they're okay. It's going to be okay. Give them some hope. Yeah. Be a hope dealer. Within that. Well, Troy, I thank you for your time.
Anytime, brother.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely have this on again. As you guys know, we will close out in prayer. And today we're going to close out for those that are battling suicidal ideations, that are struggling to find that hope in life, in their lives. And Troy, would you mind leading us in that prayer?
Sure.
Whenever you're ready.
So, Father, we come to you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for all things that you've done for us. We thank you for the things that you're currently doing and the things that you will do. We thank you, Lord God, for all the listeners that this podcast will fall upon and the ears that will hear this. And I thank you, Father God, that in this podcast they will hear your voice and that you would be glorified through all this. Father, I pray for those that are struggling with depression now, struggling with thoughts of hopelessness, thoughts of despair. And Father God, I ask that you introduce light into these people now, in Jesus' name, that from this day forward, their lives will be infused with the light of God. And just as you said in your word, darkness cannot overcome the light. And so, God, we say over the people that listen to this podcast, light be in Jesus' name, that in every area of your life, God is infusing you with the light of God right now in Jesus' name. No matter where you are, no matter when you hear this podcast, you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Your soul will not be snatched by the reaper of souls. We say right now that the lover of your soul is greater than the reaper of your soul. And so we say Jesus now over every single person that hears this podcast. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I hope you, today has reached you in a whole new way. We look forward to having you again on another episode. And until then, God bless you.